Hello, my name is Chuck Rom, and today I would like to welcome you to Freeform Spiritual Wisdom. For the past 28 years, I've immersed myself in the exploration, the study, and the practice of the knowledge and wisdom that lies within metaphysical and spiritual concepts and ideas. That wisdom is also contained within you, and to a degree, is able to be found within the philosophies and teachings that are available, both historically and presently, on our planet today. What I intend to do as we move forward with each new episode of this podcast is to explore and provide for you a process and an experience where you can effectively use this information to create the type of life that brings you the satisfaction, fulfillment, and happiness that you desire. However, a necessary aspect of these changes is a much broader and deeper understanding of who and what you are. The two are actually inseparable, and becoming aware of this deeper aspect of yourself allows a perspective to come forward that is not present if this is omitted, which then results in a number of limitations to the outcome that's experienced. It's these limitations that cause people to continue searching for a more fulfilling solution to the challenges they have in their lives. Moving you beyond those limitations is the experience I intend to provide for you here. So if you're here listening to the podcast today, it's because you've made a choice. You've made a choice to explore spiritual and metaphysical concepts and ideas, and to then apply the information and the knowledge that you acquire as a result of that exploration to your life. The desire, of course, is to have an effect on the quality of the life that we're living, to create a life that feels more enjoyable and satisfying to experience. One of the ideas that will be foundational to this type of an exploration is the idea that you are more than your physical body, that you are something that goes beyond what your five senses will tell you is real about the type of environment that it is that you're experiencing right now. So this you that is beyond the physical has various names depending on the philosophy or the teaching that you look to for information about this you. It's been termed the inner self. It's been termed the deeper self. It's been called the soul. Some people say the universe. There's a variety of phrases that have been attached to this particular concept of a you that exists outside of the physical experience that we're used to. For individuals who've explored this information for long periods of time, almost regardless of the philosophy that they do it from, this particular idea and concept is a well-known one, that there is a you, an infinite you, an unlimited you that exists surrounding, shall we say, this physical experience that you're having, and lending to this physical experience the energy that you then use to have this particular type of experience. One of the things that's really nice about this particular type of exploration, in other words, becoming familiar with this idea of a you that exists beyond the physical you, a larger you, a broader you, a you that has at its disposal really an infinite amount of information and knowledge and wisdom, as well as a you that has total understanding of the experiences that you're going through right now, is that as you start to become aware of that you and then start to bring the qualities of that you into the experience of this you, then you can apply those qualities to the choices that you're making in your life moment by moment and on a daily basis. So then when you have circumstances and conditions come up in your life, you're able to approach those, you're able to respond to those particular situations and not just react to those situations, but respond to those situations in a way that allows you to make a choice that's much more beneficial to you. And it's really the choices in your life, the string of choices that you're making, that lead then to the types of experiences that you're having in your life, to whether you're living a life that you're enjoying, that you're feeling satisfied with, or that you're living a life that feels really unenjoyable, is a life that's filled with challenge all the time that you just can't seem to move beyond. Or maybe it's that part of your life is pretty decent, but there is one or two areas in your life that you just don't seem to have the same level of ability or confidence that you do in some other areas of your life. It'll work in those instances also, because this inner part of you doesn't understand limitation. This inner part of you knows the game, shall we say, totally. And as you open up the connection that really is already there between this expression of you and that particular expression of you, then what you're going to do is you're going to avail yourself to all of that information as well as the ability to put it into use. So today what we're going to do is not only talk a little bit more about this inner you, but touch a little bit also on the tools and the methods that can help you to become aware of this inner you. So that what you can do is you can bring that experience a little more fully, or even begin to bring that experience into this particular experience if you haven't done this at all before, and then to see the effects of that. And these effects don't have to take a long time to show up in your life. It really has to do with anything else that you explore and that you become interested in. It has to do with how much focus, how much of your attention you want to put on that particular thing. Let's say that you want to play the piano. If you buy a piano and you really don't get any instruction and you sit down at the piano, let's say once every 3 weeks, and you pluck away at the keys a little bit, maybe after a year's worth of time, you may advance to some little degree. But if instead what you do is you take lessons from somebody who themselves is very good at playing the piano, and you involve yourself in those lessons, let's say several times a week, maybe if you're very enthusiastic about what you're doing, maybe you do it 3, 4, 5 times a week. At the end of a year's time, you'll be fairly good at playing the piano. You'll be well on your way. And little by little, of course, what happens is that you need the instruction of this other individual less and less as your own skills and ability grow. This is the same thing that you will see happen in this particular type of an exploration. The more you do this, the more awareness you bring into this particular aspect of yourself, the less then you have to go to sources of information to then explore how you should approach various things that are happening in your life. That information is contained within you, like it's contained within everybody, and it will just start to flow out when you need it in any particular situation. This is the advantage of beginning this type of an exploration. This is something that is not had if what you try to do is if you try to overcome your challenges without becoming aware of these aspects of who and what you are. These, of course, are the things that various religious and spiritual philosophies have explored for many years now. One of the things that I want to touch on as we're discussing the inner and deeper aspects of who and what you are is the idea of an ultimate personality that's associated with various religious and spiritual philosophies that then demands of you certain actions or activities that you need to participate in before the information that that ultimate personality has will be shared with you that you can then use in your life to create your life the way that you want to. This can take the form of particular clothing you need to wear, particular grammar or words that you need to use, particular food that you need to eat, particular books that you need to read, various events that you need to become involved in. There's a variety of things that can be involved here. What I would like to assure you of here is that after the length of time that I've been involved in this exploration, that these types of ideas are associated with human interpretation of the information, and that none of those ideas, none of those beliefs are in actuality true. None of those things are what you need to worry about in order to have the connectivity between this expression of yourself and the deeper, unlimited expression of yourself become part of what you are aware of. I mention that here because as we have associated ourselves with various philosophies and ideas in the past, with perhaps various religions or various spiritual practices, these ideas may have been a part of that exploration, and they may act to inhibit you to opening up to the connection that you have to these deeper parts of who and what you are, because you may have some expectations that there will be demands put on you as you do so, but there will not be. The inner part of you is actually, as I've spoken of just briefly, the larger and infinite part of who you are. It's an expression of you. It is you. And any information that is contained there is really yours to be had. All that really is required is for you to have a desire to have that information. Now, there may actually also be the need to explore anything that inhibits you from opening yourself up to that information. Certain beliefs, certain ideas, certain influences that you've been exposed to that can prevent you from allowing yourself to express yourself in a particular way. Those things will be part of your exploration and part of your movement into be utilizing this information. But there are no strict guidelines or rules that need to be followed before this type of information can be shared with you. One of the other things that I would like to discuss as we are talking about the inner portions of the self are the ways that we, just as a part of our natural experience here, tend to limit our ideas about what it means to be unlimited and infinite. Because our experience here flows in a particular way, because of all the various types of experiences that we have here, we tend to think in certain terms about various things that can occur. Any ideas that are presented to us are flavored by the experience that we've had. So when we think in terms of infinite, and if we think in terms of unlimited, we don't really have an idea about what that means. We apply it and compare it to our experience here, and usually in kind of a limited way. So when we speak, as I start to touch on various portions of information as we move forward with our episodes, about what you are able to do, about what that collaboration between this expression of you and that deeper, broader, infinite expression of you are able to do together, some of those things will be difficult for you to wrap your mind around just because of the way that we've become familiar with understanding how things work in the context of what we call physical reality. Things like time, you know, we experience a certain flow of time. Things like the expression of us. We have a particular way of thinking about the expression of us, that it begins, that it ends. In fact, in our experience of reality, that is one of the so-called key components of the experience that we're having here, that everything seems to have an ending and everything seems to have a beginning. Certainly that's what it is that we've observed. And so when we talk about an us that has no ending to it, we can, to some degree, wrap our minds around that. But if we talk about an us that also similarly had no beginning to it, that can be a little more difficult for us to wrap our mind around because we are so used to those types of ideas. No beginning to us makes no sense. So there's going to be a variety of concepts, a variety of ideas that, due to the beliefs that we're carrying with us and utilizing, can be initially difficult to come to. One of the things that we will touch upon that can be very beneficial to your exploration in this way, and by that I mean to add to your life in the ways that make it much more enjoyable to live, is information that has been expressed in a variety of different spiritual philosophies. So the advantage to having a number of different philosophies around the planet that have to do with spirituality, that have to do with consciousness, is that many of them express ideas and concepts that are not contained within others. So in the West, in the United States, there are particular ideas, particular concepts that we've been exposed to, and others that we've never heard of that were expressed in other parts of the world. Of course, the inner us has no limitations to what it is. And so if what that inner us is attempting to do is to share information with us about our limited nature, information that we can then utilize and apply to this life that we're having, if we have no familiarity with those concepts, it can be difficult to pick up on what it is that inner us is trying to share with us. So have no fear. I, of course, have that exposure. I'm familiar with pretty much most of the various ideas and concepts that have been expressed in various philosophies around the globe throughout history, shall we say. So within the episodes of our podcast here, what I will do, of course, is I will share those with you. And I will share them in a way that then you will be able to utilize in the life that you're living right now to be able to do the types of things that you want to do and to be able to have the type of connection that you would like to have with that infinite portion of who you are, or to deepen that connection. So one of the things that we'll talk about in this regard is the idea of time, and the idea of how the infinite you expresses itself as various personalities throughout time. Now, one of the things that can be difficult to understand about the infinite us is the infinite us is not bound by our experience of time. In other words, time to us is a linear thing, as we discussed just a little while ago. It also has some sort of a beginning and flows towards some sort of an end, or possibly not. There may be ideas and concepts that people can be exposed to where maybe there is no ending to time, but typically there's some sort of an ending to time. The infinite us, of course, is not bound by those particular ideas that are part of our reality here. I'll suggest to you, in fact, that the inner us is who it is that is creating our experience of time for us, and that time is experienced in a different way depending on, maybe I'll phrase it like this, what universe you are finding yourself within. So there are some ideas within the study of cosmology and of course quantum physics of what's termed a multiverse now. In other words, there's not just one universe that is populated to whatever degree by individuals. There are many universes, in fact, an unlimited number of universes. And so within those universes, of course, there are going to be ways of expressing that we know nothing about, at least from this perspective of ourselves. So some of the ideas that are contained within other philosophies that can be beneficial to help us move beyond, you move beyond certain ideas that you have about your life, that can give you various advantages when you are dealing with certain situations in your life, are borrowed by the ideas and the concepts that were shared in other philosophies that we're not familiar with here in the West. One of those is the idea of reincarnation. Now, reincarnation leans heavily on the idea of linear time. So in other words, the way that it works with the idea of reincarnation is that once this version of you ends its existence here in physical reality, at some point in the not too distant future thereafter, there is another version of you that will be expressed within physical reality, again, in a linear fashion. But there is not really any idea of the connectivity that occurs between all these versions of you that is expressed. And again, the idea of a linear flow of those versions of you is very heavily leaned upon as that particular idea is expressed. So of course, the inner you, being infinite, being the aspect of you that creates experiences for you, that then makes it seem like time flows in a linear way. And we're not going to go too deeply into this here. I just want to kind of talk about it a little bit as far as these other expressions of you are concerned. What we can do then is we can utilize the idea that we have this us that lives outside of the constraints of a linear flow of time, the eternal us, an us that is not only creating one version of itself in physical reality, and not only creating one version of physical reality, but creating many versions of physical reality, and creating many versions of us in all sorts of ways, shapes, and forms within those other versions of physical reality. Now, some of these versions are quite different than this version. Some of these versions, and there is a language that is used here sometimes, and that language is probable. In other words, there are probable realities, probable versions of you that are being expressed. So some of these probable versions of you are quite close to this particular expression of who you are and what it is you're doing in your life. Then, if we consider the idea, this concept that may be quite hard to wrap our mind around, that this inner us has no need to follow the rules and the guidelines that we believe are applicable to the way that time functions, as it expresses and creates these other us's, it can do that at any moment that it wants to. It also doesn't need to pay attention to the ideas of past or future. This has an advantage in that, let us say that there's a particular type of a challenge in a particular event and circumstance in our life that we're having at this moment. There is then another version of us someplace in this expansive understanding and model of how the inner us expresses itself that has already had that particular type of an experience. It's already figured out how to move through that experience effectively. And because all of those versions of us and us are intimately connected, because we are all part of the same infinite us, we are free then to tap into that information and use it to our advantage here. So many times, when you have some sort of a decision to be made, or you have some sort of a challenge come into your life, there may be a number of different choices that you could make. So here again is another advantage of not only being aware of this infinite you, but of these ideas that are associated with the infinite you that can be brought into your experience here. So as you choose which of the ways you're going to go in a particular situation, what's occurred, I'm going to suggest to you, from the perspective of the infinite you, is that actually what's gone on is that you are exploring each of those choices. Here, you're experiencing one of those choices, but all of those are being explored by the inner you with probable versions of you. And as that is occurring, there is information and knowledge and wisdom that is gained by you as you have those experiences. So what you can do, and of course this is going to take some practice, but what you can do is as an experience comes your way, you can reach in to that inner you, you can become familiar with the experiences that were had by these other versions of you, And you can have information that you can connect with that allows you then the ability to make choices that will bring you the best outcome in that particular type of an experience. So this type of information, this model of how things are done, can seem quite fantastic if you're hearing it for the first time, or if you've only been exploring these types of ideas for only a couple of years. However, for individuals who've explored this type of information for a decade or so, this type of information is not so earth-shattering any longer. It is quite familiar, actually. Depending, of course, on what you've been exploring, there are various ways of exploring out there that are limited, a little more limited, and you may not, through those ways of exploring, become familiar with these types of concepts, or to have then the opportunity to have put them into practice in your life. And once again, in the length of time that I've done this, I have had the opportunity to explore these things and to put these things into practice in my life. So many individuals may say, so then why is it that you are not having a different type of existence in this way or in that way, let's say, because there may be particular ideas about what type of an expression you should have to have your life be the ultimate expression of your life. This, of course, is really born through the idea of what you need to be doing or what you need to have to be happy in your life, which is a tripping point that we will discuss in some of the future episodes of the podcast, in that if what you're doing is looking for something that you have or something that you do to make you happy, you are in effect barking up the wrong tree, shall I say. Because, of course, you can lose those things at any moment. And then, where is your happiness? The more effective approach, and an approach that is an approach that's well understood by individuals who've done these types of explorations for long periods of time, is what you do is you generate your own happiness. And that takes a variety of methods and understandings to be able to do. But you are happy just because you are happy. And because you are happy, because you are fulfilled, because you have a particular feeling about the quality of your life, the things that match that then fill your life. Also, there is this idea of choice and what it is you want to do with the life, what things you want to explore in that life, what ideas and concepts about the entirety of the life are there that you want to explore and become increasingly familiar with. And so you make those choices then to continue to explore your life in particular ways, in particular venues, which may mean a particular job, because it affords you the opportunity to explore various concepts and ideas about how it is that we create this particular experience around us more effectively than doing other things in your life might. And because you are happy and satisfied and fulfilled with life all the time anyway, you may have a little glitch every now and then, but by and large, that's the way you feel about life. It really isn't about having to have a particular type of job or a particular level of income. Not that there's anything wrong with any of that, but none of that is necessary for you to be happy. And really, when you think about it, that's the reason why everybody pursues a particular level of money in their life or a particular type of job or a particular type of relationship or whatever it might be, because that is what they believe will bring them happiness in their life. So it's really all about the happiness. It's all about the satisfaction and the enjoyment that you're having with your experience of life. So with what I'll term now wisdom philosophies, and there's a various number of those around the globe, this is something that is well understood. And it's, of course, something that we will talk about in further episodes of the podcast. And it's really what our exploration here is partially all about. How do I do that with my life? How is it that I make my life feel fulfilling, happy, joyful, even, regardless of what it is that's in my life? I'm not saying that you need to only have certain types of things in your life. That's not the point. The point is that if you bring the quality of happiness to your life through inner methodologies, it will be there all the time. It won't be dependent on what's going on around you in your life. Now, when we look at various spiritual teachers around the globe, almost regardless of the discipline that they happen to be sharing that information within, almost without exception, unless they are doing it purposefully, they have at their disposal an almost infinite amount of material things to be able to utilize. They have plenty of money. They have a nice place to live. They have plenty of food to eat. They have really everything that most people think would make their life nice if they had that in their life. Now, as I said, there are certain individuals that, because they are associated with certain disciplines and within the context of the belief systems of those disciplines, a particular austerity in how you live your life is put forward instead, then in fact, that is what you will see surrounding them. That doesn't mean, however, that a particular level of happiness and enjoyment of life is not had by them either. They're just using a different exterior surrounding while they do that. So there is quite a bit about the inner you that, of course, we'll be discussing throughout the episodes that we have here with this particular podcast. And we'll continue along those lines in each of the podcasts as we move forward. What I want to begin to share with you now is some of the methods that you can use to start to bring that connection and then the information and the knowledge that lies within having that connection forward into the experience that you're having right now. These are things that you're going to be able to do on a daily basis. There's nothing difficult about them. They are even things that people talk about in daily life on occasion. They're not things that are so foreign to you, although some of the things that I will share with you here may not be things that you're familiar with, but nothing, again, that you won't be able to participate in really quite easily that will actually begin to have an effect on this connection that's there and opening the doors to this connection in a way that you can start to utilize what's there in the experience that you're having in life. So the important part of being able to have tools or methods to help us to access the information that lies within the inner us, within that deeper us, is that it will help us to bring about different experiences in our life. And it'll be those experiences that will begin to fill out the exploration for you. It'll be those experiences that will bring a certain layer or level of validation to what it is that you're doing. It'll make the exploration, quote unquote, more real for you. And so one of the things that is helpful in this regard is to create an environment for yourself, especially in the beginning, where you can allow that type of information to start to come into your awareness. Usually what that's going to mean is to find yourself in some sort of a quiet place. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to maybe pick a room in your home or your apartment that you can close the door and it will be quiet. You can maybe even ask the individuals that you are living with to give you a little bit of time. You know, you can just tell them there's something that you want to put your attention on now, and you would appreciate it if they wouldn't disturb you for a particular length of time, maybe a half an hour, and it'll give you the opportunity to practice a little bit about some of the things that we're going to talk about here. So when you have set that up for yourself, and of course, what you may do is you may need, if your home is too busy, if it's too noisy, you can go outside. You know, you might walk down to a park. There may be a small pond. There may be a stream someplace near you. There may be some green space in your town somewhere. There may be just be an area not even with any green space in it that just nobody is in at a particular time of day. And you know that. And you go there and you know you're going to be alone. You'll have some solitude for a little time. Wherever it is that you can find yourself where you can have some solitude and some quiet for a particular length of time is what you want to do for yourself. So once you've done that, you want to put yourself into a particular frame of mind, shall I say, a particular state of being. And there's an easy way to begin this process, and it's just by taking in a deep breath and then releasing it. So what I want you to do is when you find yourself in this quiet place, I want you just to sit and then to take a nice deep breath in and to let it out. Do that a couple of times, and then what I want you to do is I want you to pay attention to how you did that. When you did that, did you fill your lungs and did your chest come up? Or did you fill your stomach and did your stomach go out? Preferentially, the way that you want to do this is you want to fill your stomach first. In other words, as you breathe in, your stomach should move out. Then you should fill your chest. And then as you breathe out, your chest should go down, and then your stomach should go down. So the way that it should happen is that you breathe in, and your stomach went out, and as you pushed into your stomach and it filled, then you filled your lungs, and then I want you to pause for just a moment, and then breathe it out, and it's the opposite. Then you empty the air out of the upper part, the chest first, and then it goes out of the stomach. All right, so practice that a couple times, practicing in. You fill the stomach, then you fill the chest, and out, then the chest goes down, and then the stomach. Now, if you're alone, one of the things you can add to this that will help in the relaxation is you can make a certain sound as you exhale, and it's this. You breathe in, and then as you breathe out, you go, ah, right? When you hear somebody do that, it tells you that this person has just let out a sigh and they're relaxing themselves. It will do the same thing to you. It will help to relax you. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to relax you. There's another technique that you can use. Let's say you're in the midst of a situation and you're really not going to be alone and things are starting to feel a little bit overwhelming or busy for you. What you can do is you can bring your attention to your environment that you're in right now. What I mean by this is utilize your senses. Start with your eyes. What do the walls look like that are around you? What color are they? What texture are they? What else is around you? Is there a desk? Is there a computer? Are there books? Is there a rug? Are there paintings? Are there lights? What do they look like? What is their color? Things like this. Look around you. What do your eyes see? Then, what do you smell? Can you smell your own perfume or cologne? Can you smell somebody else's? Can you smell something that's being cooked in the building? Do you smell something from the business down the street? Are there some chemicals or something that are in your workplace that you can smell? What is it that your nose, that your sense of smell is picking up? Is there any taste that you can smell? Do you have a mint, maybe, or a piece of gum in your mouth? Is there just some taste that your mouth has right now? Is there anything that you taste? What is it that you're hearing? Is there a hum to the lights? Are you hearing people walk on the floor? Are you hearing cars move outside? That type of stuff. What are you feeling? Are you sitting in a chair? What do you feel against your skin? The pressure as you sit on the chair? Do you feel your clothes on your skin, on your arms, on your back, on your neck? Do you feel your feet on the floor? What does that feel like? Can you feel the shoes around your feet? Can you feel the socks around your feet? Do you have a pen in your hand? Maybe what does that feel like? Right? Bring your attention to your immediate surroundings. Use your senses. Just be aware of all the things that your senses are picking up. This will pull you away from all the chatter, all the busyness that your mind is involved in at that moment. And it'll help you to mellow out a little bit. Okay? It'll help you not to feel quite so overwhelmed. Right? What we're doing is we're thinking about this first concept of things that we were talking about. where you take a breath and you get yourself in a particular state of being, right? So from this, what I want to start to talk about is a way of gathering information that comes from the inner part of us. And what I like to call this is the eyes of the self. And by this, I don't mean eyes like the eyes that I see of. I mean eyes like the letter I, right? Like an illustration. And so when I refer to the eyes of the self, what I'm talking about are inspiration, imagination, impressions, impulses, intuition, and ideas. These are the methods that the inner you uses to send you information in a way that doesn't involve the five senses. It is information that frequently shows up in your day. It's also information that many people don't pay attention to. And so what I want to help you to do is to begin to pay attention to that information. Because in paying attention to that information, you are going to get prompts, you're going to get knowledge, you're going to get insights, you're going to get a variety of things coming your way that will help you with the day that you are living. But it's going to show up in a way that's different than how most people are used to getting information. Some of these also will help us with our experiential end of things. In fact, all of these will help us with our experiential end of things. Doing something that helps us to have a different experience, right? That helps us to become familiar with the more of what's going on in our situation of life. So impulses are maybe a nice place to start in that regard. When I first began this journey, it was kind of impulses and impressions that were the things that were showing up for me that were there to kind of help me to start to look at things a little more different than what I was doing already. And what was happening as this was in the early parts of what I was doing is that many times I wasn't catching them. But what I would notice then, or what I experienced, what I would then have some effect, some sort of a mildly negative or uncomfortable effect, because I didn't act on the impulse or the impression that had showed up for me a little earlier. So as an example, let's say that you're driving down a road in your town, and it's either at the time period where everybody is going to work or when everybody's coming home from work, and you have an appointment that you want to make about an hour from now. So you have to drive home, you want to change, and you're going to leave, and then you're going to meet this individual someplace in about an hour. And so having the drive home be as smooth as possible and occur fairly quickly will be something that's important for you to be able to make the appointment. So it's on a two-lane road. There's two lanes going your way, there's two lanes going the other way, and traffic is moving along just fine. And all of a sudden you get this impulse, this little direction that shows up in your mind to move into the left lane. And so let's say you've caught it, and what you do is you look ahead at traffic, and you see that in the left lane there's a couple of large trucks. Maybe there's a cement mixer, maybe there's a large moving truck, maybe there's another type of a truck that's even up ahead of them. And you look in the right lane up further, and it's just a bunch of cars. And in your experience, trucks many times can be slower moving in traffic than cars are. And so you choose to stay in the right lane. And so you're driving along for another 10 or 15 seconds. And then all of a sudden, the traffic in your lane starts to slow. It slows dramatically, and then it comes to a stop. And the traffic in the left lane continues to move. And you're sitting there for 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and you're watching now as the people behind you are moving around you and pulling into the left lane, and you're waiting for your turn, but because there's a bunch of people backed up behind you, it's like you can't get into the traffic in the other lane, and you're beginning to feel a little frustrated. And you might even say to yourself, I should have listened to the idea, or whatever you will call it, to move into the left lane. So finally, you get the opportunity to do just that. And you get into the left lane and you drive about 5 or 10 seconds in some place about, maybe a block down on the road. There's a car that has obviously had some sort of a mechanical problem with it. The hood is up, there's some smoke coming out of the engine, and of course the traffic is backed up behind it. So impulses will show up for you all day long in all sorts of various circumstances. What you want to do is you want to open your radar up a little bit so that you begin to pay attention to those more and more all the time. What's effective, even if you're still questioning whether you really buy into the idea of an inner self or not, is to just give yourself a little bit of room and you say, well, there's a potential, you know, that this might be going on. What's effective is to ask that inner you to help you to pay attention to these type of things, right? And it will do just that. In that regard, I'll add a little bit of information here. You may be wondering, well, I've heard you say that the inner me is paying attention to me all the time. And in fact, it is. But there's a particular quality to that. And that quality changes when you start to actively involve yourself in that process. It's kind of like, let's say you're maybe in your dining room or maybe in your living room or your kitchen, and you're involving yourself in a project. You might be washing dishes, you may be cooking, you may be on your computer, you might be in a chair reading a book, whatever it might happen to be. And you have a couple of children. Maybe your children are 6 and 8, right? And they're maybe at the far side of the room that you're in, or they're in the room adjacent to the one that you're in, and they're playing something. They're maybe playing with some trucks or a game. They're doing something. And you're vaguely aware of them, right? You're focused on your computer, you're reading your book, you're doing your dishes, you're focused on what's in front of you. And someplace in the periphery of your awareness, you know that they're there. You're vaguely aware that they're there and they're doing something, okay? And it will stay like that while you're doing the things that you're doing, unless something changes in their experience that then changes their energy and the way that they express themselves. Let's say they were playing with a couple of different, like, say, trucks or something like that, and one of the kids accidentally scratched another one, and it's painful, and the other child begins to cry. Now that has taken on a different energy. It's become different, and now your attention is there as a different way. Now you're much more focused on what's happening there. You may even walk over to see what's going on to make sure everything's okay. This is a similar situation with the experience you're having with the inner you. It is paying attention at the periphery of itself with what's going on with your life. It's not strongly focused on that experience at all until something changes in that type of energy. If you ask specifically to have some help, if you take some step forward towards this interaction that you have with the inner you, you've just done that. You're now like the child that began to cry. It may not be crying from your end, but what it's done is it's changed the tenor of the energy that you're putting out. And now this inner you is going to pay attention to the interaction it has with you in a different way. And it's going to start to provide for you things that will help you in this exploration that you've now said that to some degree you want to involve yourself in. Even if you're just only testing the water right now, you're still not sure what you think about all of this, right? It's still there now to listen because you've involved it in a way that you weren't involving it before, right? So it's an important step to take. Ask this inner you to help you out with catching impulses. Okay, it's kind of like you want to widen your radar net to the various information that's showing up for you. So let's go through the list of the eyes of self. Inspiration. Most everybody is familiar with inspiration. That probably doesn't need any kind of exploration behind it. You know, you feel inspired and excited about something in particular. It helps in the flow of whatever that action is going to be, right? Imagination. Right? This is the formation of images in your mind. ideas are a very interesting thing, right? If you ask somebody, well, where did the idea come from? Nobody really knows, usually anyway, where an idea comes from. It just sort of showed up. The interesting thing about ideas is that they're usually associated with other types of information that flows from this inner you, imagination being one of them. Usually when somebody has an idea, very shortly thereafter, sometimes it may even seem at the same time, you begin to have images that start to form in your mind, right? The imagination starts to work, all right? And usually there are other things that become part of it too. There can be feelings that are associated with it. There's a variety of things that may also be part of that experience, things that we'll talk about in some other episodes, okay? So the imagination. Impressions. So impressions are packages, I guess I'll say, of information that show up that are there to help you when there's an action that you're thinking about becoming involved in. There's some sort of direction that you want to take. It might be some sort of imaginative thing with some feeling behind it. It might be an impulse that shows up. It may be a strong feeling about something, and then again, some images start to show up. It can be a variety of different things. It's like impressions are a little package of information that shows up. Usually it's not too long. It's a brief little thing that shows up that gives you some insight. Here we'll use another I word, right? Into this action that you're thinking about taking. So insight, again, is another one of the eyes of the self, eyes of the inner self. Some information that helps you in a direction that you want to move that is usually outside of the five senses that you usually utilize, although it can involve some of those five senses, okay? So insight. Impulses we talked about. Impulses are usually about direction. They are something to direct you to do something, to take some sort of action, right? They're usually brief. They pop in really quickly. It's do this, do that. They're there to direct you to move in a particular direction, to take a particular type of an action. Those are impulses. Intuition is usually a feeling type of a thing. You have a feeling that you should do something, okay? Someone says, hey, I want you to come and watch this particular show with me. It doesn't really feel like you want to do that. Someone says, hey, I think meeting this person is something that you will enjoy. You get this feeling inside of yourself that, I don't think so. I don't think that I would enjoy this particular individual in my life at this particular time. Maybe it's going to see a movie. No, I don't really feel like I want to go see that movie today, okay? Intuition involves feeling states a lot. There is information that's being provided to you through this particular eye of the self that's giving you information that is beyond what the five senses usually bring to you. And then we talked about ideas, okay? And ideas everybody is pretty much familiar with. So these are the eyes of the self. And the eyes of the self are going to help you, if you pay attention to them more and more, to begin to bring you fuller experiences, more facets to the experience of life that you're going to have than what you've had previously, than what you've had by only using your five senses as far as gathering information about what's going on with your environment. So these eyes of the self are a particularly effective way to begin to change the experiential state of what it is that's going on for you and to begin to bring in information and knowledge that is contained within the inner you, the deeper you, the self. It's a word that I frequently like to use. That will then help to make this, it's an experiential thing in your life instead of only informational, instead of just a theoretical or intellectual exercise, right? It becomes something that is experiential. It's kind of like, let's take a banana split. If you've never eaten a banana split before, you can have friends that will describe what it's like to eat a banana split. You know, say, okay, it's made in this dish and there's a scoop of vanilla ice cream, there's a scoop of chocolate ice cream, there's a scoop of strawberry ice cream, there is some sort of a strawberry sauce that's there, there's a pineapple sauce that's there, they cut a banana in half, they put it to the side, there's chocolate sauce that's drizzled over it, And the combination together is really, really nice. It tastes really good, you know. So even though you've had bananas and you've had chocolate ice cream, and maybe you've even had vanilla and strawberry ice cream before, and maybe even on some of those ice creams, you've had some of these sauces. If you haven't had a banana split, you still really don't know what this person is talking about because you haven't had the experience. Maybe you have a degree in chemistry and you can look at the molecular configuration of bananas, the sugars that are in bananas, the polysaccharides that are in bananas, all these various things. And you can do the same with all the various other substances. You know, you can look at the various different types of fatty acids that are in the ice cream, all sorts of different things, the sugars, the polysaccharides, the monosaccharides, disaccharides that might be in the strawberry sauce, the pineapple sauce, whatever, okay, and the ice cream itself. But knowing all of this does not give you the experience of eating the banana split. It's only when you finally have a banana split in front of you and you begin to eat it that you really understand what a banana split is all about. So this exploration is the same in that regard. The information will be important, the knowledge will be important, but it's the putting it into practice. It's the utilizing it to have a different experience than what you've traditionally been having in physical reality that will really be what it's all about. And this then is the second part of what I will express to you and suggest to you is important about what we're going to do together here in this string of episodes in this particular podcast. This will help you then to become increasingly familiar with who and what you are, the information, the knowledge, the experiences. The three of those together will provide you with wisdom. There will be increasing insight that will show up for you. All of these eyes of the inner self will begin to become an increasing part of your experience. They will create for you in that regard an experience that is increasingly fuller than the experience that you're used to just using the physical senses. This then will conclude the information I'm going to share with you in this episode. I want to thank all of you for joining me here today. It's been my pleasure to share this information with you. Moving forward into subsequent episodes of the podcast, what I'm going to do is continue to share information and knowledge with you to offer you methods and practices that will help then to continue to build a nice foundation for you that then you can use as a platform to move forward and apply the information that I've provided for you here into having the type of life that you would like to have. We'll also talk about and explore any challenges or influences that people can have that they experience throughout their life that inhibit them from accessing the traits and characteristics that they have within them that they're then able to utilize to build and to create the type of life that they would like to for themselves on a daily basis. What I'd also like to share with you is that I have another format that I offer this type of information in. It's a Facebook page that I have, and it's called The Home We've Never Left. If you'd like, you can head over there and you can get a little bit of a feel for some of the topics and ideas that we will discuss in the podcast. What I'd also like to touch on is that if you feel that the information that I'm providing for you here is of benefit for you in your life and you would like to support that financially in some way, I've included a link to both PayPal and Patreon in the description below. And contributing in some financial way, of course, would be very appreciated. It helps me in dedicating more of my time to sharing this type of information with all of you. I'm looking very forward to connecting with you in future episodes. I'll see you then.